fear can be amusing. But most of the time, when we think about fear in movies and TV shows, we think about stakes, drama, tension, and the anxiety. So we're put in an emotional distress type of state, and that pulls us into the world that the artist has created. And our hearts are racing. We're like, what's going to happen? It's the suspense that gets me, as Bugs Bunny used to say. And so I thought about fear only as that at the start, when I first started writing. And then I realized, wait a minute, there's lots of ways to use fear in a way where it makes the character personable, it makes their inner conflict maybe deeper, but also it can be humorous. It can be freaking funny. And so I tried to like go over a lot of my stories to see how I was subconsciously doing this and how I was intentionally doing this. And so I'm going to talk about how to plug some of your fears or what you think other people fear, how you can plug it into your script in a way where it's a little bit funny. It gives a little bit of a tickle. So I am not a true comedy writer. I, for the most part, don't get a lot of jokes. Things go over my head. I was raised very weirdly. I was homeschooled, but not just homeschooled. I was raised by religious fanatics who thought everything was evil and out to get you. And so we were not allowed to watch a lot of things. And so a lot of references I don't always get. Have I educated myself on a lot of things now that I'm 37? Absolutely. But still, I can't necessarily write a true born comedy. My mind works with dramedies. Not comedic dramas, but dramedies, where it's mainly drama with comedic moments. And BTW, I'm an Alien, is a script where it does that. As a backstory to this script, it is based on the idea that we all live within a multiverse. And within this multiverse are parallel realities. And in one of these parallel lives is Trevor Noah as a different person. His parallel self is called Travis Nouri. And in this parallel life of Travis Nouri, he is married to an alien. And I thought it was funny to play out what I thought were Trevor Noah's fears in an alternate reality to make me stay sane during the pandemic. I have never in my life experienced such anxiety, such a mental crash. Like, I can't even put it into words. I got physical sensations that I'd never had before, where every day it felt like PTSD from being in a car accident or from being beaten up. I could literally sit in my bed and feel like I was being hit. And I had this ominous feeling of like doom every day. It was pretty bad. And the thing is, I'm normally very positive and I meditate. I've done my best to really cope with my anxiety, but all of it reared its ugly head during the pandemic. So I needed to laugh. And at the time, I didn't know anything about Trevor Noah. I knew that he had taken over for Jon Stewart, but I'd never watched a full episode of The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. It was on in my house. I knew who he was. I saw some things that I was like, haha, that's funny, and then I'd go do something else because it went over my head. Again, talking about my upbringing. And I only saw The Daily Show with Jon Stewart later in life because my older siblings were still around the house because they were losers. They hadn't moved out. And so they were keeping stuff like that on the TV because they were trying to educate themselves. So I never felt like, well, the thing is, I was also trying to get away from American culture. I was in Canada. I was there for almost 14 years. It was like 13 and a half years. And I didn't want to hear about American politics. I wanted to escape America. So I didn't really watch a lot of the news. But because this idea came to me as I was writing another story, basically I was writing a scene about Ghostly Girl family. They were being interviewed. The main characters were being interviewed by a late night TV show host. And I didn't know who they were being interviewed by until the scene in my head scaled back and I saw Trevor Noah interviewing them. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. And then the idea just went bloop. What would Trevor Noah's life be like if he were married to an alien in an alternate reality? I was like, huh. I thought it was an interesting thought. I went to sleep right after that, had a dream about it, woke up, it was still on my mind, and I could not focus on Ghostly Ghoul family anymore because this other thought was taking over my mind. It was consuming my mind. So I just decided to write it out as a short just to get it out of my head. And then I focused back on Ghostly Girl Family. I think I wrote it as 20 pages and I submitted it to a short competition. It placed as a quarterfinalist. And I only started writing screenplays in 2019. So I was surprised that it placed. And then I got a lot of other positive feedback from other people. And then 2020 came and the pandemic hit. And so I was kind of forced to self-medicate through writing a dramedy. And let me just back up. In 2019, I started researching Trevor Noah to actually write the script. And so I did start watching The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. And I did hear him talk about the pandemic, and so I knew it was coming before a lot of other people seemed to know it was coming because he was talking about it. And then I just spent the pandemic getting to know him, consuming his content, because there's a lot of content out there, and it made me laugh. It made me happy. So I love this script. It has been a salve. It has been a balm on my wounded heart during the pandemic. I don't know what would have happened had I not been actively writing. I used to beat myself up saying I should have started writing sooner because now I'm like old. It's hard to break into the industry. But had I done it sooner and written out all of my other stories, I would have had nothing to do during the pandemic. I would have probably gone crazy. So, yes, I decided to distract myself from my own fears about what was going to happen, the impending doom of my reality. I distracted it with what I thought were probably Trevor Noah's fears. And one of those fears was that I thought he was afraid of being a father. But not just afraid of being a father, I thought he was afraid of being a father to a bad child. And so I thought it would be hilarious if he had a very willful child who had powers. And he had to go above and beyond to not only educate her, but protect her. And it just tickled my brain. It was interesting enough to awaken the problem solver in me, but also still have enough of the funny so that it tickled and lulled me to sleep. And there were parts where I was cracking up at myself, which is weird because there's this thing in media where they think you shouldn't laugh at your own jokes or you shouldn't jam out to your own songs. I don't care. I laughed because the character Maroa, which is Travis Norrie's daughter, she's so, I don't even know the right word other than willful. If there's something she wants, she's gonna get it. And she has this childlike understanding. Think of like a 4-year-old who's like, "You want to be my friend? Yeah, I want to be your friend." And then they see other people not getting along. Like, why don't they just be friends? Maroa is like that. She's like, we should all get along. The human race and the Lisivalite race, they should all just get along. And I'm going to make sure they do. Without realizing that she's taking away their choice and she's becoming a dictator. And so Trevis Norrie is trying to teach her how to rule in a way where there's freedom, but also being very gentle enough on an emotional level to be like, I know it hurts to see the world at odds. And even though it's not going to go the way you want it to, Daddy's here and he'll always have your back. Basically, being emotional support for her and talking to her on a child level, even though she has the powers of a god. I thought that that was funny. I thought it was interesting. So I don't have the fear of having a child that's willful and bad. So what I did was I used the fears that I thought were Trevor Noah, and actually he did say later in an interview, I think it was this year, where he said some days he's like, I want to have a child, and other days he's like, I hope my sperm does not create that terror of a child. So when I heard that, I was like, what? So it wasn't just my imagination. So what I did was use my delusions and illusions of what I thought he was like based off of what he presented to the world, and also just the years of working with people one-on-one. I know a lot of human fears because my regular job is people calling me and talking about their woes, and I'm there to help them work through it. So, on the other side of the coin are my own personal fears. And so, I wanted there to be a waltz, a dance between what I thought were Trevor Noah's fears and what were my personal fears. And I thought that that would create enough tension, enough engagement to fill up a season. And it did. It filled up 4 seasons. So one of my fears is not, like I said, not that I'll have a willful child. I hope I do have a willful child. I want a child that's curious. And I want a child that would be very, very happy trying to take on the world's issues and trying to make the world a better place. I think that's beautiful. I think it's sweet. But I also know it's very crushing when that doesn't happen in the way and in the timing that we want. But my personal fear that I put into the story was my fear that I would have this beautiful, willful child with the wrong person. And the wrong person in my mind was someone who would never be around. So, but also not able to emotionally connect. So I put that in the story that Trevis Norrie is a workaholic. And yes, he has a lot on his shoulders. He's trying to make the people from his home country happy and proud. He's trying to make it in Canada, not the US. I switched it. So he's in Canada, the character. And he's trying to connect with the culture, and make them proud. And then he's also responsible for the livelihood of the staff that work on the show. And then he's also trying to take care of his family, and also his extended family. And then he has his own internal problems of not feeling like he belonged. So that only came later that I realized I didn't have enough tension about belonging, but I'll get into that a little bit later. So I do put depth into the story about why he's being a workaholic, but it still doesn't work for the character Amara, his wife in the story. She is shutting down because she has told him he's missing the milestones of his daughter. She's tried to work with him. She's bent over backwards to adapt to his life, and still, he is not doing enough to be a father and to be a husband. And she says, all I've ever wanted was you and my family. I don't need this big house. And so that all comes to a head where he finally does meet the career goal that he wanted and he reaches success. But then his marriage is falling apart and Amara is thinking of leaving him. And then it's exposed that she's an alien. She's being vulnerable, and he's like, what the what? And so that's another fear that I have. Not a very prevalent fear, but I do have a fear of being quite vulnerable, as we all do, and the person not really knowing how to handle it or being supportive. But the character, Amara, is just like, she's always been an alien. It's not a big deal. So she's like, hey, I'm an alien. And he's like, what the fuck? Why didn't you ever tell me this? And does that mean that Maroa, oh my God, I have a hybrid daughter? And so, oh no. Okay. It should stop after one blare. I completely forgot what time it was. Said 11:57 every day. That stupid siren resounds throughout the neighborhood. And this is common for like small towns. If I had been thinking, I would have planned recording this earlier or later. But anyway, I put the fear of not being accepted for who I am or sharing intimate things about myself into this script of BTW, I'm an Alien. But also, I think of Trevor Noah as really trying to engage people and accept them for who they are and meet them where they are. And so I wanted to reverse that, him having the inability to do it in that moment, where his own fears and insecurities trump everything that's going on with like love and compassion, just because it comes out of the blue and at a very vulnerable time for him, and he just shuts down. And then having to deal with that, having to cope with not reacting and responding the way that he had hoped he would, and then trying to make up for that. And he does. But one of the other things that came to me that I found to be amusing, which was the original intention of this recording, I just kind of went in all different directions, but one of the other intentions was, like I said, to see how I was subconsciously and intentionally putting fear as a funny in the story. And I realize that I put the fear to fetish thing. You know how sometimes people who are spanked, they develop a fetish for it as they get older? So it's a little bit of that in the story. Basically, I know that in the culture I grew up in, and I've heard that this is true for many African cultures, a witch is considered very scary, very bad, negative, evil, and people are very superstitious. And I did see one of the Daily Show episodes where Trevor was talking about a South African man who kicked a cat from a sports game, and everyone, well, not everyone, but a lot of people in the US were upset. And he was like, no, you don't understand. He was saving everyone. The black cat would have cursed the game, and it's like a superstition in South Africa or something like that. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So I put in what I thought would happen. Basically, growing up in a culture where it's like bad witches, I thought it would become a fetish where he like was drawn to and attracted to witches. Now, Amara is not an actual witch, but her abilities are what are considered a witch, such as being able to manipulate somebody's mind, being able to curse them in a sense, being able to make negative things befall them. And so I thought that that was amusing. And I do have her called a witch throughout the first season. And I only realized that later on when I was reviewing it. I was like, yes, that is what I subconsciously did. I wanted to have the fear to fetish with Travis Norrie. But I never really went deeper into it. And so I think I'm going to put that into season 4. And that is the beauty of writing a series. Things that you don't have perfect clarity on at the start, you might have clarity on later. And that can fill up other episodes. So I am going to do that. One of the other things that I thought was funny was the idea. Well, basically the first season is about Travis Norrie with his daughter. And then the second season is about Travis Norrie with his daughter and son. So the same thing tickled me about him having a naughty child, but I thought it would also be funny if the child was a little bit off. And how he would deal and cope with being a, you know, being the father of like an oddball. But also Toylan, that is Travis Norrie's son in the script. I do also have him trying to learn how to be funny. So I imagine one of Trevor Noah's annoyances, not necessarily his fear and anxiety, but an annoyance, is when people try to be funnier than him. You know, I like the idea of him dealing with a son who's trying to be like him, trying to be funny, but not being funny at all. And him trying to teach him how to be funny, and then the son like presenting it to the public in a way where people are like, what the fuck, you know? So that tickled me, and that was intentional. I wanted to, because I think a lot of men have the fear of their son beating them, being better than them. I guess fear is not the right word. It might be just an anxiety because they don't know how to handle it necessarily. Like it's a big milestone and like rite of passage for certain sons and fathers when their child, their son becomes smart enough to beat them at a game or strong enough and fast enough to beat them at a sport. And so I just wanted to plug that in with jokes between him, Travis Norrie, and his son, Toylan. Maroa also does this a little bit in the first season where she's trying to be like daddy, she says, and she keeps she keeps trying to be funny, and it's just, it's not funny. So that was a thorough line of his children trying to be like him in their alien way, and it causing catastrophe after catastrophe. I'm trying to like say it the right way, but I know that Trevor says travesty, and so now that's like in my head whenever I say catastrophe. So that is the main thing I wanted to talk about today, how you can use fear to fetish in your stories to get a little bit of the funny, how you might be able to add more to the script when you reread it and figure out your subconscious things and your conscious things. It can be so much fun learning about yourself as well. Like, I realized a lot about my fears. So sometimes people have a fear of being alone. That is not my fear. My fear is being stuck with people I don't want to be with. And that happens a lot in the script. And just so many other things about my own personal fears. And I'll talk about that more in future episodes. I don't want this one to be too long. But yes, play around with fear. Yes, it can help you understand more about yourself, other people, and life. It can also help you heal some of your fears and anxieties. It can make the story more personable, engaging, and it can also bring laughter. You know those movies and TV shows where you've watched and you're like, oh my God, oh no. And then it kind of is like letting the air out of the balloon and you're like, oh my God, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. And it's something stupid and you just laugh about it. Ah, those are some of like the best things. I really don't completely understand how humans have evolved to have laughter. And maybe that's something I need to write in the story, that the alien race has studied the evolution of laughter and how humans evolved to be tickled by life. You know, I don't think there's a lot of other animals that have the same ability to laugh. So, I'm gonna Google that and learn more about it. See, getting new ideas as I'm doing this podcast. But that's all I wanted to talk about today. I hope it's a bit of inspiration for you or just made you chuckle a little bit. I'm still doing my best to break into the industry. I'm planning to go to LA this month or next month to see if I can make any contacts. I know that this is the final week for Trevor Noah and The Daily Show. I still hope to get in contact with him to see if he would like to produce the story. I know there's still things that can be fixed and improved upon, but I know that I have gotten it to the highest level I can possibly get it. At least for the first season. The second season, I'm gonna have to change because I got very lonely during the pandemic, and season two got a little bit too sexual. So I'm gonna like make that more PG-13. But I'm excited about the possibility. And of course, I have that fear of him being not just annoyed, but feeling outraged, hurt, exploited, taken advantage of. I have all those fears, but I don't know what to do with fear other than to confront it, address it, accept it, try to move beyond it. I can't just let it fester and shut me down. If I do get to the point where he is open enough to hear what I have to say and he hates it, then I'll cry, but then I'll also move on. It would definitely hurt me for him to feel like I was using him and then the story was terrible. I definitely would be hurt by that because that was never my intention. I was trying to get through the pandemic, and he really was a big part of getting me through the pandemic. So I could jibber jabber about this more and more and more, but I'm not going to right now because I don't want this to get to 30 minutes. But just wish me luck.